on Twitter with regards to happiness. When you love someone, you just have to let them reach their happiness with or without you. And yes, interesting here also on Twitter, if you truly love someone, all you want is for them is to be happy, even if deep down all you want is for you to be their happiness. Let's move into the workplace and a text message here about somebody that says they've reached their ceiling at work. There's no more room for promotion. They've achieved all they can and they feel stagnated and stuck, difficult to leave because of the economic situation, but very, very much feeling unhappy where they are. What can they do?
Well, it's very important that you are practical, which you've already stated, because of the economic situation. You shouldn't leave a paying job, but what you can do is what you should have been doing all along. You need to get a balance in your life. I've talked about this so many times. Here it is. Repeat it again. Every day there needs to be time for work, play, love, worship. Your work time is your productivity time, where you're making a contribution to society. You're not a burden on it. Playtime is where you recreate, which means that you recreate non-stressful situations through sports and hobbies. You have time for your friends, for your family, for your loved ones, and also make spiritual time, time to connect with some universal concept to understand your purpose in life, whether it's your values, your attitudes, your traditions, customs, and also your boundaries, whether it's ethics and morals or anything else. Yes, it is a bad economic situation, but that doesn't mean that life now has forsaken you by forcing you to stay in a job. A job is 8 hours a day. Let the other 16 hours a day be part sleep and also getting that balance in life with recreation and a sense of connectedness to friends, family, and also your worship style.
So interesting, isn't it? Because so much of the time we put emphasis on our work as being so important. So what you're saying is if things aren't that great at work, maybe allow a bit more time for other things to come into your life, which will pacify, will smooth over. Perhaps you'll feel a little bit better when you are in the workplace.
It certainly does make the daytime go better. And you can look forward to spending time with friends, family, and recreating.
Looking again at this list with regards to happiness, it's saying here, don't forget to be grateful and also help someone else find happiness. That can actually create a great sense of well-being for the individual. And get rid of a couple of your less valuable desires. So perhaps, again, that idea of putting too much pressure on yourself and actually really look again at what truly you think makes you happy. Reevaluate what's important to you and maybe let go of some of those things that really aren't so important.
Those are very important points. As a matter of fact, during the Ramadan month, that's exactly the principle of that, as it is during Lent, which is going on now. These are times that we learn what is important and what is it that we can have and what is it we don't need to have. So this is, gives us a chance to reevaluate and re-categorize situations that should be important, don't need to be important. And frankly, if the world's going to end today at 12 o'clock, what is it that's really important to you?
Text message here regarding depression and saying that if you suffer from depression, and very bad depression, can it lead to dementia?
Well, dementia is actually a term that describes a lot of different symptoms. And here we're talking about a decrease in intellectual functioning. There's a lack of normal life functions. There's also where a person has a loss of memory, a loss of language, perception, judgment losses. They're not able to reason very well. There's even a loss in emotional behavioral control. And these are the kind of things that when are reduced, we have difficulty in problem solving. So what we're doing then is we're losing our executive functioning. Now, dementia is associated with brain deterioration. It's a neurological state. Many times we're familiar with dementia when we hear things like Alzheimer's disease, vascular dementia. There's also various things like Huntington's disease that comes up sometimes, or an HIV-associated dementia. Now, interesting how this relates to depression is people who are depressed may not actually realize that they're depressed. But according to neuropsychologists like John Exner, who has become a forerunner in teaching the neuropsychological instruments, and also especially the Rorschach, which is a perception, is a projective instrumentation in psychology assessments. He says that people who suffer from dementia actually know that they're going through a depression, where a person who's actually clinically depressed might not know that.
Yeah, I think I've witnessed it myself firsthand with family member who suffered with dementia. But actually, I would say we saw signs of depression first. And it may be that it's just a connection as you are moving into dementia. My grandmother, who was well into her 90s, but you started to see a change in behavior where she didn't want to get out of bed in the morning, but had always been active. That to me might be an indicator of depression. Obviously, then you started to get the repetition of words and forgetfulness. But certainly to begin with, in the early stages, I would have looked and thought this is an elderly lady who is depressed.
When people are in that aging process, even though they may be losing some of their executive functioning, they also see themselves in a mirror and it frightens them. Especially those who have had a very active brain, where they use their brain for intellectual processing, emotional understanding, and stability, where they behaviorally were quite dynamic in their work world, their family world, even their retirement process, where they were taking on activities. When they see themselves deteriorating, it's very frightening for them. They will go into a depression of that sense of loss, and sometimes that depression is when the individual feels that they are losing.
Text message here. My 8-year-old puts a lot of pressure on himself to be perfect. How can I help him understand that he doesn't need to be perfect?
Well, you got to find out where he picked up on that information. Is it something that actually is happening at home, where one of you is a perfectionist, where you put a lot of demands on yourself, even though you say you don't necessarily put it on your child? Are you actually doing that indirectly? And also, what is going on competitively for them? Many times the way that they learn to play at home will reflect this. But also, it can be, rather than blaming yourself, the way they've learned to play at the school location, where maybe teachers, other students have put them in a situation where they have to compete. Here's an opportunity, since the child is of school age, to involve the school teacher, the classroom teacher, and cooperatively working with that person to find out if the behavior is consistent in the school. Because you want to know, is this only happening at home? Is it at school? Is it global, or is it specific, in other words? By doing this, then you'll be able to understand how you and the teacher can help your child be able to recognize that it's okay to be good at what you do, but being perfect doesn't mean you have to do everything right.
Text message has just come in now, and we are just getting towards the end of the show. So if anybody can help with this, do text in, and I will pick up the text messages after the show. So don't worry about the time frame. But somebody's saying here that a friend of theirs, their son was diagnosed with dyslexia. He's 12 years old, and that no school is willing to accept him. Can you please advise? Well, I'm putting that out there to you. Do you know of a school? I mean, I can't believe that there's a school that won't accept somebody because of
this. Yeah, there are several
schools. There are, yeah.
So do accept children with various learning disorders.
Exactly. So if you can recommend any school, then please do text in on 4001. I've taken the person's number, so if you text in, I can call them back and give your recommendations. So if you know of a school, a good school that will deal with dyslexia, then let us know on 4001. And then here, text message asking about OCD, and can you advise how to get rid of OCD without taking medicine?
Well, OCD is obsessive compulsive disorder, and there are behavioral techniques that can be used. Medication can be helpful, but when you go to a psychologist, they're going to first put you through the psychological intervention. If that doesn't work within 2 to 3 weeks, then medication may be required. But about 7% of the cases will require medication. The other 93% don't. So there are techniques. You have to be correctly assessed to make sure that we understand what the true anxiety is that's underlining the OCD or the obsessive compulsive disorder. Then we can try the various techniques with you to understand what may apply to you and what doesn't. When that works within 1 or 2 weeks, then you're on your road to maintaining the psychological intervention. 7% may need medication.
Dr. Raymond Hamdan, thank you so much. As always, your contact details.
Human Relations Institute is located in Dubai Knowledge Village. The number is 04 365-8578.